you deserve a donut. That was a box that I saw this week. I had a box of donuts. That's what it said on the top. You deserve a donut. And it's not just donut places that say that. It's a pretty popular phrase, whether it's like a truck commercial or the grocery store, you deserve fresh produce or something, right? When I hear you deserve and then some sort of product, it takes me back to this conversation I had that is one of the more powerful conversations I probably had in my whole life. It really has stuck with me. It was about 15, maybe 17 years ago. I was a man named Victor, and I had known Victor's family really well, got to know Victor. I think we got a picture. So this is my parents on the side. This is when I was living down in Mexico. My parents came to visit me. But right in the middle, the guy in the blue is Victor. Then his oldest son is Victor. Then it's Jose is the next tallest guy. Then Carlos and little Eric and Paz. Like, I got really close to this family. But Victor, the dad, was in and out of that family. But in one of the times where he was involved with the family and helping the family, I went over to their house to visit. Eric, like, loves this banana bread that I make. I don't know if it's very good, but he had never had anything like it, so he, like, loved it. And I went over there, visited them with some bread, and Victor was telling me a story. And he was working at a place, there's a lot of concrete business down in Mexico, and he's working at a place that was making powder that you could mix into cement powder to make concrete red. So if you're pouring a floor or something, you can make the whole floor the color you wanted. So if it chipped or something, it would stay that color. Anyways, Mexico doesn't have OSHA or whatever quite as much as we do. So Victor and two other coworkers are mixing this huge vat of whatever chemical they're doing, and they're mixing it, and Victor's just telling me this, like, what happened today? And this is the story he's telling me. They're mixing this thing, and it tips over. And Victor's coworker gets his hand in all that chemical, and his whole arm gets ruined by that chemical. Like, I don't know all the details of what exactly they were doing, but his whole arm's, like, not just, like, burnt for a couple weeks. Like, that arm's, like, ruined. Now, Victor's telling me that story, and if I heard that story from one of you guys, you'd either be really angry, or you'd be thinking, like, this guy's set for life with workman's comp or something. I don't know. The conversation would go towards deserve. Like, deserve would be part of the conversation. This guy deserves a bunch of money. Everybody deserves to be treated better, right? The thing that, like, I will never forget, Victor had none of that attitude. Victor told me that story as, like, this is what happened at work today. And then Victor went on to talk to me about how grateful he was to have that job. And I'm not going to get into pesos and inflation and stuff. It'd be hard to do the math on this. But I knew roughly what Victor was making at this job. And it was a lot less than I used to make when I was 16 working at Blue Springs Lake Marina as a dockhand. Like, I had, like, an easy job that I was working after I got off of high school. And I was making a lot more money than Victor was making trying to take care of this family. And Victor didn't feel like he deserved a safe working environment, almost, is what I would say. Like, he was grateful for the job. Now, there's a bunch of stuff in the world that's evil. There's a brokenness that's there, right? But when I go to a grocery store and it says, you deserve fresh produce or something, I always think back to Victor. I always think, like, do I deserve this? And Victor doesn't. Because, like, most, like, his work week is a lot of hours, right? Like, the normal work week there was a lot of hours. So he's working a lot. And it's unsafe. And I just think, like, I don't know that I deserve a lot more than Victor. Like, that phrase is, it always bothers me. It always takes me back to their house. Now, why do I bring up that story? Is a lot of us have stuff inside of us that could be summed up with the I deserve better. And some of us have figured out that if we had more gratitude, we'd have a better life. Like, some of us have at least gotten that little bit of wisdom. Like, if I were more grateful, I'd have more peace. People would like me more. My marriage would be better or whatever. I mean, like, we've realized, like, gratitude would help a lot of problems. But sometimes we think, like, I'll get more gratitude by just, like, making myself be more thankful or something, right? It doesn't always work. I'm going to talk to us today about a passage in Isaiah. It's a pretty heavy-hitting passage. We're going to get back to Victor here as we go and that whole deserve idea. But Fasting to Feast is a series we're in right now. We're trying to prep for Thanksgiving. And Thanksgiving is this, I think, wonderful holiday, right? It focuses us in on, let's be grateful, right? Focuses in on, let's spend some time, people we care about, and be grateful. But normally, it's also like, let's have a huge meal. And when we think about making the meal better, it's like, how do we add, you know, let's cover the turkey in bacon or something, right? You're like that's how we'll make the feast even better. Which that, I've had that before. That can be really good. But the concept we started talking about last week was actually to make yourself enjoy the feast better, having some denying of yourself prior, not eating a bunch of junk prior can help you enjoy that feast better. And if we want to have a life with some gratitude in it, some blessing in it, I actually think we got to look into some other people's problems and try to help, right? So each week we're going to hit something different. But the idea here is like, rather than trying to make your life better by making yourself more comfortable, what if you paid attention to other people who are uncomfortable? And would that lead you to a blessing? Instead of like stuffing more comfort into your life, like what if you help somebody else who's in discomfort, right? So we're going to read, and I'm not going to just say like, hopefully this helps. There's a promise from God at the end of the passage we're going to read. So it's Isaiah 58. I would love for you to see it in your Bible. It's going to be on the screen, but I just feel like it's good to have it open in front of you as well. There's a table of contents in the front of the Bible. That's there to help, right? Like, don't be like, I'm not going to open it up because I don't know where it's at in the Bible. Like, just, we grow when we get help, right? So look at the table of contents. Find out where Isaiah is. It's spelled right there. Page 508 if you're in Justin's Bible. I don't know. Yeah, that Bible. There you go. So, okay, so Isaiah 58. This is 1 through 9. The first five verses, it's like I jumped down off the stage and like shook Donnie, right? It's like a, let's wake up. That's the first five verses, right? And it's rough, okay? Prophet Isaiah talking here to the people of Israel. Verse 1, we're going to start. It says, shout it aloud. Do not hold back, right? We're not going to sugarcoat it. It says, raise your voice like a trumpet. Trumpets are super loud. Declare to my people their rebellion and to the descendants of Jacob their sins. This idea of the people that are supposed to be following God are going the opposite way. And before we're like, oh yeah, those people must have been terrible. If we want to get to the blessing that's coming in verse 8, 9, like, let's just take a guess that maybe we've done the wrong thing at some point, right? Like maybe we're in that spot of not perfectly right with God. Maybe we got something we can grow in. Verse 2, for day after day they seek me out. They seem eager to know my ways, as if they were a nation that does what is right and has not forsaken the commands of its God. Pause here. These people are doing a lot of religious stuff. They're showing up to meetings, right? They maybe talk religious. Maybe they dress in a certain way. Maybe they don't do certain things. But they're not doing the commands of God. So they act like they care about God, but they don't do what he says. And again, before we judge a bunch of other people, ask yourself, is there something you did this week that you didn't want to do because God told you to do it? If you can't think of anything that you did that you didn't want to do because God told you to do it, like this, you're in danger, right? You're either not close enough to hear what God's telling you to do, or you're not paying attention, or you're in rebellion, right? Like he told you not to say that thing, and you did, or whatever it was, right? Second part of verse 2. They ask me for just decisions and seem eager for God to come near them, right? So they show up and they worship. Or they say, like, I hope God shows us what we should do, right? Read verse 3. Why have we fasted, right? Like, they're not eating food on certain days, right? Why have we fasted? They say, and you haven't seen it. Why have we humbled ourselves and you haven't noticed? Here's the thing about Israel at that point. They seem to be aware that God's not showing up the way that they think he's going to. For some of us in the room, if God were upset at you, you wouldn't even know. Right? If there's somebody in California that's mad at you, you might not know it. Right? Like, it's just like we're too far away to have even picked up on that. Right? But here they're like, I'm doing some stuff. I don't get why God's not showing up. And if you're here today and you're like, I'm trying some stuff. I'm working my step four or whatever you're doing, right? I'm trying some stuff, but I don't have the thing going with God that I want to have. Sometimes we make life really hard, but it's nice if you come to a spot in the Bible and you're like, that person's like me. And then you get to hear what God told that person. It's not bad to copy in real life, right? It's not bad to say, like, if this is what God told that person that's kind of like me, maybe I should just copy that, right? It's not bad to just say, like, it's in the Bible. I'm going to try to do that, and God put what you want me to do, but I'm going to start by just doing the thing right in front of me. If we won't do the things the Bible says, why should the Holy Spirit give us some sort of particular message just to us? Right? Like, you're not ready for that if you won't be faithful when it's in black and white right in front of you, right? Okay, the second part of verse 3. Yet on the day of your fasting, you do as you please and you exploit all your workers. So they're not eating food, they're doing religious stuff. At the same time, they're not paying people that are working for them enough. And that might feel like, oh yeah, man, I wish people would pay me more or something. But what if we flip it? Like, all the stuff we buy, is everybody that makes all the stuff that makes your life easier, is everybody being treated well, or are there a bunch of victors out there that make it easy for us to be comfortable, right? I mean, some of this gets pretty uncomfortable pretty fast, right? And it's like, I don't even know. I'm your pastor. I don't want to be a hypocrite. I don't even know what we should be doing, right? Like, I knew Victor a long time ago. I still haven't figured out. The world's a messed up, unjust place. And it's hard to figure out what to do, right? But maybe it's even closer than that, right? Maybe there's somebody that's directly connected to you and you're taking advantage of them. And Jesus is saying, I don't care how many meetings at Maywood you go to, if you're abusing somebody that's underneath your power, like, God has a problem with that, right? Okay, verse 4. Your fasting ends in quarreling and strife, in striking each other with wicked fists. You cannot fast as you do today and expect your voice to be heard on high. Here's the deal. No matter what religious stuff you do, if you're getting into conflict with other people a lot, maybe it's because they're so wrong and so godless. But it could also be because you got a bunch of junk in your own life, and that's why the conflict keeps stirring around you, right? There are times, like Isaiah would say stuff that people didn't want to hear. There are times that Jesus certainly said stuff people didn't want to hear. People were mad at Jesus and tortured him, right? So just because someone's mad at you doesn't mean you said something wrong. But if there's a lot of conflict in your life, like, it's worth asking Jesus, like, are all these people hating on me because they hate you? Or am I bringing some of this on myself, right? And here, for the Israelites at least, he's saying, you're getting in these fights, and I don't care about the religious stuff you're doing when you treat other people that way. Okay, verse 5. Is this the kind of fast I have chosen? Only a day for people to humble themselves, like just to look like they care about God. Is it only a day for bowing one's head like a reed, right? If you've ever been out by a creek, right, it'll bow over and then come right back up, right? It doesn't really matter. It just goes where the wind blows, right? Is it for lying in sackcloth and ashes? Is this what you call a fast, a day acceptable to the Lord, right? A lot of us have something going on the outside that other people look at it and they think like, oh, that's a big deal. Right? Like sackcloth and ashes back then, people would say like, that's a serious person and they care about God. But it doesn't matter what other people perceive about what our life's like, right? Like, God knows if we're really serious about him. And if we're serious about him, we're going to obey his commands, right? We're going to follow stuff. So, okay, if you're here today, I saw one sigh, right? I'm like, okay, this is a lot, right? Remember, it starts with 5 verses of like shaking, right? I hope we're all awake, because now we're going to get to the clear, like, here's what we do about it, and then we're going to get to the blessing, right? So you're like, maybe you got slapped in the face with some of that, but now we're ready for like, here's what to do, and then there's a blessing when we obey. Right? Like, that's the way it works with God. Is when we obey, we open up our hands for him to give us good stuff. Peace, love, joy, patience, kindness. Like, for that to come inside of us, it's when we obey is how we open up to that, right? He wants to graciously give us all this sort of good stuff. but he needs us to open up. So verse 6, here's how we're going to open up. It says, is not this the kind of fasting I've chosen? It's not that abstaining from food is bad. You can have an experience with God by abstaining from food. God cares more about some other stuff though, right? And here's one of the things he cares more about. He says to loose the chains of injustice and untie the cords of the yoke, to set the oppressed free and to break every yoke. So we think about in our society, there's a bunch of injustice, right? In the world as a whole, there's a bunch of injustice. Some of that we could get all excited about and talk to each other about stuff happening somewhere else and go home and not change how we live. Like, I don't know that's what this is talking about. I think this is talking about, like, what are we going to do to help somebody else out there who's oppressed? And if you're here today, you're like, man, I don't have any place to live. I got all sorts of problems myself. God does stuff ways that normal places in the world don't. And like, God picks people that normal places would think are only a problem. God picks them to be the solution. So like, this is not like a get your life together and then start helping somebody else that's hurting. If you're in the room today and you're willing to say, Jesus, I've made mistakes, I need your help, please forgive me and please help me help someone else, like, then you're ready to help somebody else. And in fact, like, I was talking to somebody earlier today that was needing help. They needed help from somebody better than me at it, right? I asked somebody else, like, can you help this guy, right? And it's somebody that a lot of, like, professional people wouldn't have picked, right? But I actually think, like, he could do a better job, right? Like, there's stuff that Jesus can do through you that he can't do through me, right? Verse 7. Is it not to share your food with the hungry and to provide the poor wanderer with shelter? If you're here today and you're like, I care about having a better relationship with Jesus, if you come across somebody this week who's hungry, like, there's a really clear, like, could you be ready to share something with them, right? If you come across somebody that doesn't have a good place to stay, can you at least try to help with that, right? Maywood's super connected, right, with Good Foundation, Maple House. We've got a bunch of people there, you know, we know how to get into detox and stuff. Like, we got lots, we're rich in connections when it comes to that part of the world, right? Like, we can help. But sometimes it's just by looking somebody in the eye and caring about them, learning their name and saying, what do you want? And if they want to go to detox, help them find a way to get to detox. If they don't want to go to detox, be like, I got some trail mix in my car. Here, I can give this to you, man. You know, like, you don't have to solve every problem, but will you try to help the people that want help that God puts in your path, right? It says, when you see the naked, to clothe them and not to turn away from your own flesh and blood. I'm going to pause us on the own flesh and blood. There's two different ways I think you could take that. One way is maybe God's telling the Israelites, look, everybody around you in town, they're relatives. Whether they're your part of your extended family or not, like, treat everybody like cousins, right? And so maybe that's what he's saying there, is like, the people you meet that you think, like, that's someone else, right? Because of the way they dress or because of this or that thing, they're the other. Maybe he's saying, like, no, you should see that God's made humanity to be connected, right? That, like, we should value other people because God values other people, right? That we should treat them like family. I think you could take it that way. For some of us, it'd be more impactful if we would just take it as like, I should be good to the biological family I have. There's a lot of brokenness in our community. There's a lot of brokenness right in this room with our own parents or kids or siblings. You can't make your family be healthy. You can act like Jesus to your parents. You can act like Jesus to your siblings. You can act like Jesus towards your kids. And for some of you, like, the hardest thing I could ask you to do today would be to initiate a conversation with one of your parents. To have that conversation be where I'm only going to say things that fit Ephesians 4:29 through 5:2. The reason I know that passage is, like, I'm trying to memorize it because I need to work on making my speech better, right? But, like, for some of us, like, that's where it starts, is just being good to our parents because Jesus was good to his biological parents here on earth, right? Like, he treated his mom well. He didn't always do what his mom said. He always did what God wanted him to do. But he treated his mom well. And, like, it's good for us to treat our parents as well as we can while obeying Jesus, Okay? Verse 8. Oh, sorry, I want to talk. Let's go back, actually, to that picture. Because another thing on the flesh and blood. So how did I get connected with Victor the dad? The reason that happened is probably 3 or 4 years beforehand. You can see the difference. That's Victor, who has the white hat. That's him with the white shirt on the left. That's Jake with, like, helmet hair. This is pre-Chrissy. Just had, like, a helmet of hair I would put on each day. And then that's Jose, who's, like, taller than Victor. That's Jose in the blue. So I knew this family for a long time. Victor was my very first friend, I would say, in Mexico. And that's how I got to know his dad eventually. And eventually I got to know their family so good that our families crossed paths, right? Like, Victor and I spoke a different language. It was only God that, like, brought us together, right? There's somebody out there who's really different from you. And if you will just keep showing up wherever Jesus tells you to show up, and if you'll try to be loving, he'll make relationships happen that would never have happened other places. And at some point, if you have a good relationship with your biological family and that new friend are going to mix. Like, our lives as Christians should start to mix, right? So that's like a sign of health over time. It's like Jesus is making you connected to people that you would never connect with otherwise. And the boundaries start to fall apart, right? Man, I want to talk more about them, but I want to, let's stay to the passage. Okay, so we'll keep reading here. Here's where the blessing comes in. When you start treating other people, when you care about the oppressed, when your family starts to mix with other people that are hurting, here's the promises, 8 and 9, the beginning of 9. It says, then your light will break forth like the dawn. You see, when we say, I deserve better, a lot of times that gets us into resentments. Where we're like, I got to justify myself. I got to prove to me and everybody else that I'm right and they're wrong. It's the wrong way as a Christian to go about your life. If you take care of people that God loves, God will take care of you. I'm really summarizing and, like, Jake a lot of passages, but it's the principle I've seen play out. When you take care of the poor, it's like lending to the Lord, Proverbs says. In Matthew 25, Jesus says, if you take care of the least of these, they're like my little siblings. Like, I'll take care of you, right? The best way to make an ally with somebody, I've found, is to be good to their siblings that are in trouble. People love their siblings. And if you take care of somebody's sibling that's in trouble, that sibling that's got their life together will, like, really love you way more than if you did favors for them because you cared about their sibling that was a mess. Jesus, all the people we see that are like, is he on Bluetooth or is he tweaking out, like, you know, like to steal somebody else's line? But, like, when we see people, like, just out of their mind crazy around the street here, when you treat that person like that's Jesus's little brother, like, Jesus sees that, okay? I'll tell you firsthand, like, I can't always fix people's problems. Like, I'll pray about stuff, I try to help, and sometimes it's just a mess. Sometimes I get told by a friend, like, don't give that person money. Like, they used it to buy drugs. Stop, Jake. You know, like, so, you know, I'm not saying we do it all perfect. The first step is caring about these people because God cares about them, right? The next step is we stop calling them people. We start calling them Victor and Carlos and Jose, right? I mean, like, they stop becoming the other people. They start becoming our friends, right? So your light will break forth like the dawn, and your healing will quickly appear. Lots of us are so worried about fixing ourselves, and we're doing all sorts of work to fix ourselves. It's good to do work to fix yourself. If you're not helping somebody else, you're not going to get very far fixing yourself. God wants us to be involved in other people's lives. We got to make changes for ourselves, but it involves helping the next guy too. It says, then your righteousness will go before you, and the glory of the Lord will be your rear guard. This idea that, like, the path will be paved for you. I left that little footnote there. It's there in the NIV. Normally, I cut those footnotes out for the screen. I left it in because it's actually, it's hard to translate. That's what those footnotes mean. And when it says righteousness, it might mean that when you're treating other people well, that eventually that reputation you're going to build is going to go before you. The only reason I got to go to Mexico and meet Victor was because some Americans gave me money to, like, allow me to be able to go down there and do it. And I remember when I was trying to raise money, I talked to a pastor, and he's like, here's this couple at our church. They want to give you a significant amount of money to go down there, and they know you. And I was like, I don't know these people. Like, I saw their name. And then the pastor, I remember, told me, like, well, their daughter was in an art class with you at high school, and she happened to be at church when you were talking at church. And they asked the daughter about you. Now, some of you are like, oh, man. If somebody asks a high school girl about me, you know, like, some of you, here's what the daughter said about Jake. Now, this is, I don't know, this is a stupid story to tell probably. But the daughter said this. She said, like, Jake was always somebody you could trust. And so then the parents gave me a big chunk of money to allow me to go down to Mexico, right? I honestly don't remember doing anything with, I don't know why she even said that. I certainly didn't do whatever I did in high school to somehow get money from her parents, right? You know, like, none of that was on my radar. You don't have to plan out your life. You don't have to provide for your future. If you do the stuff that Jesus wants you to do, like, it goes in front of you and it paves the way. Now, the reason I left the footnote is because that's fine. That's probably good. If you read the footnote, it also says it might mean the righteous one goes before you, or your righteousness, right? This is two ways to translate it. In the New Testament, this theme picks up that Jesus is the righteous one. Jesus is our righteousness. Because all of us fall short. Jesus goes in front of us and is our righteousness. When you're doing things Jesus' way, even when you're not good enough to know the right advice or to know the right thing to do, but you're showing up for people, Jesus can do stuff you can't do to make it work out for those people, right? A little bit more of a verse. We're going to get into the rest next week, but one more part of a verse. Verse 9 says, then you will call and the Lord will answer. You will cry for help and he will say, here I am. Downstairs in Sunday school, they were talking about 911 calls where you're in jail, and a lot of people had that. Oh yeah, I've been in jail and I've asked for help and God got me out. There's a lot of that at Maywood. It's very true. When we're humble enough to say, I've messed up, I need your help, God shows up when we don't deserve it, right? I mean, the nice thing is we don't get what we deserve, right? You know, it's the lyric out there about that, right? Like, this isn't talking about when you've blown up your whole life and the feds finally caught you and you call for help. That's not the context of this verse. This verse is when you start trying to help the oppressed, when you start making your life about broken people, you're going to get in over your head. You guys don't know Victor. I feel like this isn't gossip, but I don't know. So hopefully not. Never go to Northwestern or Northeastern Mexico. If you do, forget this next thing. But Victor struggled with drinking, right? Victor struggled with being a good dad. Victor had that job and he was doing good for a few months, and I was trying to help that family too. Victor didn't stick around even as long as I stuck around in Mexico, right? And I saw Victor not do some good stuff, right? And I saw my friend Victor, who was just a teenager, really try to step up and take care of his family, right? I had to try to convince Victor not to drop out of school because he was wanting to help the other kids, right? I got Victor convinced to not do that. And while I wasn't paying attention, like, Jose dropped out of school and got a job, the younger of the two, right? I couldn't fix the family's problems, right? It was a mess. But I could ask God to help, right? So here's the thing. When you start doing things God's way, you're going to get to a spot where you're not enough to fix the problems that you're in. I think at Maywood, we have a lot of stories of realizing when I mess up my whole life, God can save me. And that's really good. But there is a time to grow up as a Christian and say, I'm doing stuff for Jesus and I got in over my head helping people. I didn't make this mess. I jumped into the mess to try to help other people and now I can't handle it, God. And that's where this promise is coming in. When you try to help the broken, you're going to get to a spot where you have to say, like, God, I can't do it. And God's going to help. And God's going to say, here I am. I was talking to a friend this week about the Great Commission, and I said, what sticks out to you about it? And she said, that promise from Jesus to be with us. Like, is there a better promise in the whole Bible, right, than that? God saying, here I am. I want to show you one last picture. This is Jake when I'm like 3 or something. And this is my dad. Obviously, we're both a lot younger. I know, yeah. So there you go. Yes, so it's cute at least, right? But my brother hit a deer here recently, just this last week or so. he was out of town with his wife. All their luggage and stuff's in the van. Messed up their door enough, though, that after they got out and tried to get back into the van, it was one of those cars where there's only one key slot. That key wouldn't work anymore. And his key fob didn't have a battery. And my brother said, man, I wish I could call my dad, right? He didn't say, I wish I could call Jake, right? He fixed it without my help, right? You know what I mean? But he eventually fixed it, right? But my dad passed away a while ago, if you don't know that. But I know what it's like to be a little kid and be so excited just to be around my dad, right? And I also know what it's like to even be an adult and to get into some big problems. And if my dad's there, we're doing it together. Not everybody gets to have a good dad biologically. There's a lot of that in this room, right? As good as my dad was, though, he's not as good as our Heavenly Father, right? And the big promise for us today is when we start off as little kids with Jesus, right? And all we got to do is just be happy to be in God's lap, basically, right? Just like little Jake right there, right? But it's also sweet. It was really sweet for me to get some years as an adult with my dad. And that's in front of us too. I think some of you know what this feels like, but you don't know what it feels like to be standing, working on something shoulder to shoulder with God. I never got to the place where I was physically stronger than my dad, even when I was in his 60s. So that was unfortunate, you know? But so we'd be working on stuff, and I'd be like, you have to do this or whatever, right? That's what my relationship was like with him, right? You're never going to get to the spot where God really needs your help, but there's a real sweet relationship that comes from working together. And God will keep letting you do stuff that you're like, really, you want me to do this one? All the brokenness is out here. You could complain about it. You could say, I deserve better. Or you could see, this is an opportunity to do something with your dad. Your Heavenly Father wants to work on the problems of the world with you. If he wanted to solve them fast, he would have already solved them. He wants to make you into his daughter, into his son, into Hebrews says, into someone who Jesus isn't ashamed to call his sibling. So I want to pray over each one of us this week that when we try to help the hurting, that we'll know that God's there with us. Let's bow our heads. Jesus, I pray for each one of us that will open our eyes this week and try to obey, try to share our food or help somebody who doesn't have a place, help somebody who's oppressed, fight against an injustice. When we do that, I pray that we would know that you are with us. I pray we would get closer to you this week by working with you, God. It's in your name we pray. Amen.